Well, good afternoon, you, and welcome to Thursday's Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. It's nice to be with you. Thanks for choosing the programme. Do leave a message for me at any time between now and the end of the show. Use the app to do so, or use my contact form at richieallen.co.uk. Obviously, going to focus pretty heavily on events in Manchester this morning outside the synagogue in Crumpsall near Heaton Park. Shocking incident. Lots to say about it. Lots of questions, I think. We'll get into those. As I said, I would love to hear from you on it. So do get in touch with me between now and the end of the show. Thursday's Richie Allen Show begins right now.
No spin, no filters. This is your Richie Allen Show. Free speech radio like you've never heard it before.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, I suppose everybody has an opinion on it. And like I said, I'm going to keep saying it. Yours, really, really interesting to me. You'll probably see it differently than I see it. And that's good. It's no bad thing. I look forward to you putting me right on where I might go wrong. It is the Richie Allen Show. It is just gone 5pm in Salford. And you will have heard the news by now, of course, that two people are dead, including a gunman, after an attack outside a synagogue in Manchester. The UK government, the UK police have, or counter-terror police, have declared this a terror attack. A man was shot dead by police moments after he targeted worshippers at Heaton Park Hebrew Congregation Synagogue shortly before 9:30 a.m. It's about a 5-minute drive from where I am here. I know it well. Now, two people were killed and three others seriously injured in an attack with a car followed by a knife attack. Today, of course, is Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the Jewish calendar. Greater Manchester Police are saying the two people have been arrested over the attack. This is very interesting. They've arrested two people over the attack. Head of Counter-Terrorism Policing, Assistant Commissioner Lawrence Taylor, said, based on what we know, Counter-Terrorism Policing has declared this as a terrorist incident. We have also made two further arrests. With a more detailed timeline, here's BBC News 24.
Greater Manchester Police say they were called by a member of the public at 9:31 to the synagogue on Middleton Road in Crumpsall. The caller told them he'd seen a car being driven towards members of the public and one man had been stabbed. 3 minutes later, firearms officers were deployed to the scene after further reports from the public a security guard had been attacked with a knife. At 9:38, a man believed to be the offender was shot by Greater Manchester Police firearms officers. At 9:41, paramedics arrived at the scene and began helping those who'd been injured. Greater Manchester Police declared a major incident. An army bomb disposal unit is at the scene. The King says he and the Queen are deeply shocked and saddened, especially on such a significant day for the Jewish community.
They may have taken the body of the suspected attacker away. I'm not sure if that is the case or not. There were concerns, or it wasn't known, that he didn't have an explosive device. I kind of butchered that. Yeah, he was pictured wearing a belt around his waist. They couldn't be sure it wasn't a genuine suicide vest, so they left his body there for hours. Maybe it's still there. Okay. A Scotland Yard counter-terror police officer said this around about an hour ago.
An attack on our Jewish community today on Yom Kippur is devastating. Communities across the UK would normally be marking this holy day and are now grieving and worried about their safety. And I want to be clear, UK policing is mobilising, and it's mobilising fast. Police forces are stepping up patrols across the country, at synagogues and Jewish sites, and more widely to provide reassurance to all those communities who have been affected by this incident. At Counter-Terrorism Police, we're deploying all of our capabilities in response to what has happened. And we have resources from across our network involved. We will ensure every piece of intelligence and line of inquiry is interrogated. We're working closely with the security services to ensure we have a full intelligence picture in the coming days and weeks. Following events in Crumpsall today, I'd also like to ask the public to remain vigilant. Please report anything that doesn't feel right to the police and be alert to what is happening in your own communities.
Now, a rather extraordinary thing happened this morning as well, and I've written about this. Most hospitals around Manchester, around Salford, were basically placed into lockdown. Okay, and people were told not to turn up at accident and emergency unless they felt the injury they'd sustained or the illness they were suffering was life threatening. Think about that again. Okay, so Sky News reported this. Basically, the BBC, all of them said, look, hospitals are saying they're in lockdown. Don't come anywhere near the place unless what is wrong is life threatening. Now, I believe that's fairly disturbing. And I've posted about this on Twitter. Okay, you'd expect in an ongoing incident that some emergency measures would be implemented. Obviously, they rehearse or train or practice for these types of events. But what happened today, telling people not to go to hospitals unless their condition was life-threatening, that is more than overreach for me. That's the weaponization of fear, in my opinion. You may disagree. Okay, to say to people, don't come unless your illness slash injury is life-threatening is, well, that's a very ambiguous thing to say. Who gets to decide what is life-threatening or not? I made the point, this is dangerous. A man or woman may be sitting at home watching television, may feel a tingle in his or her left arm and decide, well, it's all kicking off, I better stay away from the hospital. It might be the last decision they ever make. And I'll make the argument here. I'm only making an argument. I'm not dogmatic when it comes to my perspectives. But surely they're normalising the use of extreme measures. And my God, did we not see this through 2020 and beyond? Normalising the use of extreme measures for situations that are not extreme. Don't get me wrong. If this went down, if it went down, the way they're telling us it went down, it was pretty feckin' extreme for the people on the end of it. But Greater Manchester has got millions of people in it. Murder isn't uncommon in big cities. So to go and lock hospitals down, that's overreach. And today it's, well, we'll lock a hospital down. Next time we might have curfews. We might close off whole streets, districts. We might force identity checks on everybody just to be on the safe side, you know? So they set a precedent by doing this. And if you set a precedent, as in something has happened in a synagogue, and if it happened the way it happened, or they say it did, it's horrible, it's unthinkable, you'd never in your life want to be caught up in anything like that. Of course, right? But they lower the bar for what constitutes an emergency, do they not? And I made the point, and I've said this many times over the years on this programme, in a free society, emergency powers should shrink in peacetime, not expand in crisis. But this is where we are. And it feeds into wider agendas, I believe. Now is a really good opportunity. Before we hear some of the mainstream media commentary on what happened in Crumpsall, this is a great opportunity to kind of revisit a theme that I've been exploring for many, many years. And that is the tyranny of rolling news. Now, if you've listened to me long enough, you'll have heard me talk about this over the years. You'll have read me maybe on richieallen.co.uk. I'm a bang average writer, but I have made a life work of trying to explain what happened to news broadcasting, how it went from a rather grey looking man or woman presenting a set of facts as gathered by the news team and then saying, good night, that's it. So there was a bomb in Guildford today. 17 people were killed. It's believed the IRA did it. We have a correspondent. Yes, it's terrible, blah, blah, blah. We move on. We talk about something else. That's the end of it. You were not in any way encouraged to think one way or the other about the facts, in inverted commas, delivered to you. That was then, this is now. The tyranny of rolling news. And I really want to talk about it for 5 minutes. There's something incredibly grotesque about the way 24-hour news channels behave in the wake of a major incident. And if this is a, quote, terror attack, unquote, let's call it a major incident, right? The moment they learn of it, they drop everything, absolutely everything, to give you second-by-second updates, even when there is absolutely nothing new to say about it. It gets worse. Oftentimes, we've seen over the years, they send their prime-time anchors to travel to the scene to broadcast their entire programs from the scene, even though it's all over, and it's been all over for 24 hours. Nothing new to say. It's where the coverage, in fact, becomes a performance all by itself, a theatre of tragedy, and they give you the same 30 seconds of footage played on a loop over and over, and they pad it out with speculation and guesswork, and they recycle these phrases over and over again. Quote, we're just hearing reports that, end quote. That isn't journalism. It's spectacle. It's spectacle. And what they discovered many years ago is that it's even better if people not just watch the news or listen to it, but if they experience it. If they can coax people into experiencing it, feeling it, dragging them into it. They want you pacing the room with your heart pounding. Maybe that's an exaggeration. They want you glued to the screen as if you are participating in the unfolding crisis. Do you remember me doing hour after hour on how the 24-hour news channels replaced the afternoon soaps in people's homes? Think about it. Think about it. I grew up in the era of Sons and Daughters and the Sullivans and various hospital-based soap operas which would be running. You go into most houses, I shouldn't say most because I haven't really, I certainly have not conducted a survey, but I bet you 2 in 3 houses now of an afternoon are leaving a 24-hour news channel on in the background for days like today. Buckets of pathos, buckets of it, poured out over and over again. Close-ups of people hugging. Look at the footage from this morning. Crying relatives. The presenter changing the tone of voice. Shrill urgency, right? The insistence that you stay tuned because the next moment might change everything. And I believe, and I've argued this for years, this is designed to trigger the limbic system. It is not meant to inform the rational mind. It is fucking perverse. You should have sober reporting of fact and nothing else. We will leave that and we will leave people to their suffering until we have a hard fact that you might be interested in. No. The news channels turn it into a kind of a national ritual. Grim entertainment. I said before, have I not said before, you'd find yourself reaching for the popcorn. And I'm not saying tragedy is trivial. I'm saying because the way they produce the tragedy makes it feel more like a blockbuster film than an actual event. It's a terrible thing. They don't tell you what happened. They tell you how you must feel about what happened. Fear and outrage and grief and anger. And anger is incompatible. Incompatible with Christianity and all that. They package it up and they dose it out. Nothing else has been spoken about on GB News, on Sky or the BBC News since 9:30 this morning. Meanwhile, genuine news, context, remember that, proportion, looking at the wider implications, dropped completely. Why is that? Because sober analysis doesn't keep people hooked and it certainly doesn't program them. When you give sober analysis, it doesn't program people, and what I'm talking about is programming them through panic, through pathos, through fear. This isn't the free press that I wandered into in 1998. It's a dopamine economy. That's what it is. It's a dopamine economy, and it's built on human suffering. I'm not saying all of these events are real. God knows We know there have been dozens of false flag attacks and events staged over the years. But to all intents and purposes, for the person watching it, it's real to them. And then they put the breaking news up every 2 minutes. And you're reminded that for the 24-hour media, the breaking is the point. It is grotesque programming. It is soap opera. It is terrible. And I'll tell you something else, folks. It's working. And it has been working on the populations of Western Europe and the United States for years. It's that thing we used to say about the American media. It'll never happen here, surely. Well, it has arrived here, and it arrived here years ago. When we come back, we'll hear from, well, various media commentators on how they feel about today's events in Crumpsall in Manchester. And I'll be reading your comments out as we go along. I'm Richie Allen, by the way. This is the Richie Allen Show in Salford, broadcasting on my app, on my website, and multiple other platforms, including TuneIn Radio and Fab Radio in Manchester. Thanks for being with me. Music from AC/DC and Thunderstruck. Do keep an eye on Tony Gosling, by the way. Follow Tony on Twitter and on Facebook. That is the Tony Gosling. He'll be on air tomorrow, Friday, in Bristol from 5 p.m. And he will have a really, really interesting take on events in Manchester today. He's been updating me while I'm on air because he's a good egg. And he's a very good journalist, Tony Gosling. Your comments pour in. Who benefits? Many of you are telling me the state of Israel benefits from what happened today. No doubt about that. No doubt about that. It doesn't necessarily mean that the state of Israel had anything to do with it. I'm not saying it did or didn't. But you're absolutely right. There's no doubt it is benefiting from it. And I'm going to share some of the more interesting interviews that I heard this afternoon while prepping this programme. So Israeli lobbyists have been all over the news. They are disgusting now. They are disgusting. Yes, I am editorialising. These are disgusting people. You will hear some of these people. Notable, very notable, how little remorse is expressed for the victims or for their families. It's all about how anti-Semitism led to this, about how Jew hatred led to this, which is bollocks, of course. There is no Jew hatred in the UK. There never has been. Some of this stuff is horrendous. Lord Walney, Woodcock, remember him, John Woodcock? Alleged sex pest. Excuse me. Alleged sex pest. Accused of sexual harassment. Staff member of his in November of 2017 said that while working for him for 2 years, he had sent her inappropriate text messages. Remember, text messages coming from him, Woodcock, awful man. Used to be the head of the Labour Friends of Israel. Well, he was on Sky News today, and just have a listen. One of the reasons why this attack happened is because of anti-Semitism in the media. Really?
It goes far, far beyond any sense of any disapproval of the way that Israel is conducting itself in the Gaza conflict. And it is not only a conflation of Jewish people in Britain with the Israeli government, but is also, I think, a product of...
There is no evidence that UK citizens conflate Jewish people with the actions of the genocidal nutcases in Tel Aviv. There is no evidence of this. None. I'm not saying you will not find, because you'll always find an idiot under a rock if you pick up enough rocks, right? That Jewish people are not subject occasionally to the odd dipstick shouting at them in the street because of what's happening in Gaza. I'm not stupid. I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all. But it is so much of a minority event. You're talking about 0.0001%. Don't forget the pro-Palestine marches are very well attended by Jewish men and women in this country. More from this guy. Wait till you hear this.
Of the way in which Israel's actions are seen and viewed and portrayed, I'm afraid to say, by Sky News as well as other media outlets, as almost uniquely evil and worthy of a level of focus which is simply not afforded to other dire situations across the world, of which, unfortunately, there are many.
I would say in our defence that the reason that Israel has received a great deal of coverage on Sky News and all of the UK media in the last few months is because of the situation in Gaza. And it's a situation which horrific things are happening that many, many people care about. And we are, as journalists, not allowed to go in and report that because the Israeli government won't allow us to.
Well done, Jane. That is Jane Secker. Well done. Put him back in his box. Kick the bollocks out of him. How dare he come onto your programme and blame you for attacks, fictional attacks on Jewish people in the main and the attack in Crumpsall this morning. How dare he come on and link your coverage of it? She could, of course, have said to him, the United Nations has declared it to be a genocide. Are we not supposed to report on it? Susan Sarandon and Greta Thunberg and Irish actors and activists are trying to get flotillas into Gaza to feed the starving kids and the starving people there. Surely we've got to focus on this stuff, you know? Anyway, he comes back.
No, I understand that. And the situation in Gaza is horrendous, and it deserves and gets national attention. But
we must go to Jewish apologists like you or Zionist apologists in order to be rationed. Well, here's your ration of criticism for today. Should we appeal to the Zionists of Israel and elsewhere? How much time should we spend talking about the genocide today? You see, this is the reason. I'd love to have these guys on my programme, you know. Oh, my God.
And I have to put to you, why is it that that it receives so much day-to-day, day-after-day...
Because the Palestinians have been able to get video footage out of Gaza for the last 2 years of their children being shot in the face by the people you defend, Walney or Woodcock. This is why we focus on it so much. It is the first genocide ever filmed in glorious Technicolor by the victims. What do you expect, like?
Tension. When, for example, the appalling situation, humanitarian situation in Sudan does not, the ongoing persecution of Uyghur Muslims in China does not. Now, I recognise that you are
part... This week,
Sky has been covering Darfur. And it has been extensive coverage. So she had him by the balls there as well, Walney. Funnily enough, this guy Walney, as I said, former head of Labour Friends of Israel, a couple of weeks ago he was interviewed by CNN by a woman called Isabel Young. He was justifying the proscription of Palestine action. She wanted to ask him a few questions about where his loyalties lie and who he answers to. It's good journalism by Isabel Young.
Are you the right person to be advising, to have been advising the UK government on this? I mean, you were the head of Labour Friends of Israel. Yeah. You have taken several all-expenses trips paid to Israel.
Several all-expenses paid trips to Israel.
And so you can understand, you know, why quite people would question your motivations.
Yeah. I can understand why they would want to, because they don't want to account for their own actions. But
no. It's not because they don't want to account for their own actions. They want to know if your views are your own or if they were bought and paid for, Walney. That's a legitimate question. You're all over Israel and Israel's rights and let's ban Palestine action. Has it anything to do with the multiple expenses paid, all expenses paid trips to the Holy Land? What a bastard. Yeah, this went on all day. There's a guy who apparently attends the mosque in Crumpsall, the one that was attacked this morning. His name, this guy, is Rafi Bloom. I never heard of him, but he is the director of fundraising, marketing and communications at the Fed. Now, the Fed is the largest Jewish social care organisation and charity in Greater Manchester. So this guy is a Zionist too, Rafi Bloom. We're going to hear a few clips from this guy. He was on the BBC and he was on Sky. Rafi Bloom, what's going on?
It's shocking, but sadly expected. You know, for 2 years, ever since October the 7th happened, the Jewish community in this country has faced a tsunami of Jew hatred. Whether that is online, whether that's physical attacks, vandalism, Whether that is Jewish patients being mistreated in the NHS by...
Jewish patients being mistreated in the NHS? Hello? This is untrue. The tsunami of hatred is completely untrue. Like I said, many, many, many Jewish people attended the marches, but don't ever forget, they're the wrong Jews. Presenters are terrified here to interject and say, pull the other one, Rafi, you're talking through your hole. What Jew hatred?
Pro-Palestinian medics, whether that's our students on university campuses, being faced with a wave of intimidation.
No, no, no intimidation. There was no intimidation on university campuses. You had students there appalled by the slaughter of children in Gaza standing up against it. They weren't intimidating any of their fellow students. You see, what he means by intimidating is we don't like it. We don't like that young students are seeing through the Zionist genocide. We don't like it. So we have to relabel it, repackage it as Jew hatred. No, no, no.
Hate marches up and down the country.
Not hate marches. No, no. Anti-genocide marches.
Every Saturday, holding signs that compare Jews and Israelis to Nazis.
Which is a fair comparison. Like it or lump it. And they do not compare Jews to Nazis. They compare Zionist Israeli politicians and the Zionist Israeli government to Nazis. They don't refer to Jews as Nazis. And the many Jews on these marches, which, as I said, are not hate marches, they're anti-genocide marches, they don't have any issues at all, these Jews, but they're the wrong Jews, with comparing the Israeli genocide to the Nazi genocide, because it is comparable. The United Nations have said as such. Israel is trying to prevent birth in Palestine. It is wiping out generations of people. They reckon 60,000, you can probably multiply it by 3. So it's fair. You don't have to like it. And I wouldn't expect any Zionist Jew to like it. But you can fucking lump it, because it is true.
It's just been incessant. And so we all knew that this was going to come. Every single Jewish person in this country...
I swear to God, I've not selectively edited these interviews. Not a word by him or the dickhead Walney earlier. Not a word, mind, about the victims or their families. They don't matter.
Understood that this moment would come at some stage because this hatred has been allowed to go unchecked for 2 years.
Hatred unchecked 2 years, yeah. Yeah, what else did he say to the BBC?
Jews are fearful. You know, I tell the story, I wear a Star of David around my neck. I had an appointment at the NHS about a year ago. I was scared that I would be mistreated because I was identified.
Objection, Your Honour, hearsay. Hearsay. Did that really happen? This gets worse. He removed his Star of David. He was so fearful that Britain's Nazi hospitals wouldn't afford him the appropriate care. Listen.
As a Jew, and so I took it off. And I'm really actually quite ashamed that I did, but I felt that I had to. Just after October the 7th, my 5-year-old grandson at the time had to undergo a drill in his school, which happened actually as the case appears to be.
What's funny about that? You know what they're doing in Jewish schools when they're forcing children to undergo drills? They are terrorizing them and indoctrinating them. Funnily enough, a short while later, Rafi was on Sky, and he told the same bullshit story about removing his Star of David, but he embellished it a little further. Listen, come with me.
It's about stamping down on the hatred that has been allowed to flourish. You know, there's an NHS doctor that's currently under investigation. It's all over the news and social media.
Bad news for you, Rafi. She's been cleared.
One of the things she has said is that the Free Hospital in London is a cesspit of Jewish supremacy. Now, what Jewish patient can go to be treated by her, for example, and feel that they'll be treated ethically and safely? I'll give you one personal example. I wear a Star of David around my neck. I had an appointment in the NHS about a year ago to remove a potentially cancerous mole on my back. I took this off because I wasn't sure that the doctor I was seeing, because of the incidences that we've experienced in the NHS, would actually treat me and say, you know what, they might say there's nothing wrong with it when there was.
Holy shit. I removed my Star of David because I had a potentially cancerous mole, and I wanted to de-identify. I wanted to remove my Jewish identity in case the doctor might find cancer but tell me there's nothing wrong with you at all because they hate the Jews. See, this is the shit that I was listening to today.
Off because I wasn't sure that the doctor I was seeing, because of the incidences that we've experienced in the NHS, would actually treat me and say, you know what? They might say there's nothing wrong with it when there was. Jewish people are afraid.
Yeah, but they're not, though. I know loads of Jewish people. It's around 13 years now combined that myself and herself have lived in Manchester and Salford. I know a lot of Jewish people. They're not remotely concerned. Most of them, if they have an opinion on the genocide, well, their opinion is it's got to stop. It's outrageous and they don't support it. So Jews are not afraid. There are organisations like the Community Security Trust. You may have seen people on television today wearing jackets with CST emblazoned upon them. These are, in my opinion, these are organisations heavily invested in keeping Jewish people petrified, particularly in London, by telling them there is an existential threat to Jews when there isn't. Oh, and we'll provide security for you. Keep them scared, keep them scared, keep them scared. A little bit more of this before I read your comments. It's 26 minutes to the top of the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show, brought to you, by the way, in association with NutriHealth365.com. Here's Alex Hearn. Alex Hearn is a co-director of Labour Against Antisemitism. Like the previous speakers even, he's not too concerned about the trauma experienced by those in the synagogue this morning or their relatives. No, 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 no. It's all about Jew hatred. He's on the BBC, Alex Hearn.
Well, many Jews understood that it was never if an attack like this was going to happen, it was when. Because attacks against Jews have spiralled out of control. And some mass attacks have already been foiled by the security services. But despite all this, incitement and hate against Jews has been allowed to flourish in many cases by the authorities.
No, no, no. Example. Again, the presenter must interject. Give me an example.
And there's a lot of anger about that. We've witnessed weekly demonstrations characterised by racism. People feel empowered to make statements that wouldn't have been out of place in Nazi Germany. Even a doctor prompting Health Secretary Wes Streeting to condemn the language, which he says reflects the values of Nazis, not the NHS. And yet, we've seen very little action on this.
Alex. I'd love to be the interviewer. Alex, the IDF has put videos online of them laughing about the children they've murdered. You've blown up hospitals. You've killed the elderly lying in their beds. You've starved the people of the region by refusing to allow aid in to them. And this is only post-2023. For decades now, you've been kidnapping, murdering, torturing and dehumanising those people. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you not expect some pushback? Do you not expect some peoples somewhere are going to take to the streets with placards and Palestinian scarves, keffiyehs, to say this is an abomination, it's an affront to decency and to humanity? And the best you can do is to label them as hate marches and to somehow blame them for what did or didn't happen this morning. Are you kidding me?
We've watched hate take root in institutions, from universities to unions, and it masquerades as art too. In the case of Glastonbury, for example, which the BBC admitted was problematic, and then it was broadcast into the nation's living rooms. So I have to say the signs were there already. For example, in 2022, charges were dropped against a convoy who drove through town shouting, "Rape Jewish daughters." And so we've seen this dehumanisation of Jews, which has become so pervasive that many will seek to blame Jews for this horrific attack.
Yeah. Years ago, David Icke used to call this the inversion. And it was a wonderful way of looking at it. You take the truth. There is a genocide going on in Gaza. And it has been going on for 75 years, 80 years. It's not my opinion. It is historical fact. the crimes against humanity committed by the Israelis in Gaza are unspeakable. The videos I've seen online of children, unrecognisable, and their mothers and their aunts weeping and screaming and wailing while the bombs are still dropping around them. And the inversion is, you talk about how those who are responsible for it are being dehumanised. Of course, British Jews have no responsibility whatsoever for what's happening in Gaza. Let me say it again. They are overwhelmingly against it. Have they lost their memories? Who remembers a year and a half ago a major train station in London being taken over by Jewish Londoners to say, not in our name, stop the genocide? But again, those are the wrong Jews. I'm going to play a couple more clips. This is particularly egregious. This is Julia Hartley Brewer, who was taken by the hand by the Israelis recently and given a lovely luxury trip to downtown Tel Aviv. And, well, she earned it today. This is Brewer. She puts the blame squarely at the feet of Keir Starmer for the attack in Crumpsall this morning.
Prime Minister, I don't think you have done enough to keep our Jewish community safe. I think when you happily allow these pro-Palestinian marches on the streets, and yeah, the last government did too. I think it was a point when they
What do you mean you happily allow the pro-Palestine marches? You hypocritical C-nut. You bang on about loss of freedoms on talk radio. You bang on about free speech when it fucking suits you. You bang on about poor old Lucy Connolly, the stupid fucking dizzy bint who incited basically arson against a migrant hotel. Now, I didn't think a custodial sentence was warranted there. I said that. A proper smack on the wrist and a big fine would have shut Lucy Connolly up. But oh, free speech, free speech. They're so typical. The only speech they want to preserve is their own. This cow is screaming and ranting about the fact that people were allowed. How dare they be allowed to go out on the streets to say, stop murdering children in Gaza. How dare you allow it? Because one or two Jews might be upset. Well, if one or two Jews are upset about people marching to stop the murder of children, fuck them. Fuck them in the ear. Fuck off back to your house and don't listen to it. It gets worse. This, I've never used that word that ends with stunt on any radio show ever. I've used it privately and I've used it online when I've posted. I used it today. But it's a word I've never used here. Listen to this.
Supportive of the Palestinian people and people in Gaza. They're just pro-Hamas marches. A lot of the people...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen to this. I mean, this is positively libelous stuff, this. But she's clever enough not to mention any names.
They were supportive of the Palestinian people and people...
Yes, the marches were to support the Palestinian people.
...in Gaza. They're just pro-Hamas marches. A lot of the people who organise them are very, very closely linked with the Hamas terrorists.
Give me an example. I want an example right fucking now. I want a name. I want a name. Name me somebody involved in arranging a pro-Palestine march who is on the payroll of Hamas. Name one. Name one. But of course, you wouldn't name one. I emailed them this morning. Of course, I got no response. Ask your grotesquely stupid presenter to name somebody who organised the Palestine march who had a connection to Hamas. No chance.
Who launched the attack on October the 7th and still hold hostages right now, starved and beaten and tortured in tunnels under Gaza City and elsewhere. When so little's done, when pro-Palestinian activists are able to, you know, freely basically set off fireworks and do act with impunity on our streets.
What the fucking bastards? Set off fireworks? Pro-Palestinian activists? They're allowed to do it freely? And there's something wrong with this, is there? Is there?
As they did in London only last night. If you look at my social media, you see I've just retweeted some images of that. Not a police officer in sight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she blames Starmer.
It's too late. It's too late, Prime Minister. And when you recognise a Palestinian state, the cause that has been used to justify so much of the, not anti-Zionism, not pro-Palestinian, not anti-Israel, but anti-Semitic views and opinions and attacks on our streets... You gave them succour. You basically said, carry on, we'll give you the reward. That's what you did. This is on
you. Starmer's wife is Jewish. and her family are in Israel. Now, it's not going to happen because they're all playing for the same team. I know some people find it difficult to believe this, but Starmer, Badenoch, Farage, the media, they're all on the same team. So Starmer won't sue. Well, he won't sue. He probably wouldn't succeed in suing, but he's got a regulatory grievance there. He could go to Ofcom and Talk Radio could be fined an enormous amount of money. Starmer had nothing to do with whatever happened in Crumpsall this morning. This really is, as I said earlier, grotesque. It is crap dressed up as news.
You. This is on you, Prime Minister, so don't you bloody dare say we'll put police outside synagogues. You're one of the reasons why there need to be police outside synagogues. Don't you...
Imagine that you're the reason, or one of them, why police need to be outside synagogues. This is your Richie Allen Show, back in a moment with more. You're chomping at the bit there. I must have had 100 comments at least. I'll get through lots and lots of them in a moment.
Health is the greatest of human blessings, said Hippocrates. And at NutraHealth 365, we couldn't agree more. Imagine waking up energized, focused and ready to conquer your day. That's the power of premium science-backed supplements made just for you. Whether you're boosting your immune system, easing joint discomfort, sleeping better or chasing all-day vitality, NutraHealth 365 powers your wellness journey. ImmuneX 365 is a customer favorite for immune support at any age. At NutraHealth 365, we never compromise on quality. Just clean, vegetarian-friendly ingredients with no fillers, no artificial junk. We're here to help you stay at the top of your game every single day. Visit NutraHealth365.com and take the first step toward better health. That's NutraHealth365.com. Your wellness journey starts now.
Download the Richie Allen Show app now at Google Play or Apple's App Store. For more details, visit richieallen.co.uk.
BBG in Salford. Back to what I was saying earlier on about the media and how it operates. You know, once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know, the Prime Minister is leaving a meeting in Denmark to arrive back in London to chair a Cobra meeting. Kate is outside Downing Street. Hi, Kate. Any sign of the Prime Minister? And a breathless Kate is staring down the lens. No, Mary. Not yet, no. Oh, here's the convoy now. In pulls a motorcade of three cars. Out gets Starmer. And then you have morons working for the BBC and Sky, shouting at him, are you safe, Prime Minister? Are you safe? This is theatre, spectacle. It isn't news. And the King and Queen send their condolences. And then the Prince and Princess of Wales, of course, had to put out an official statement as if it wasn't fucking bad enough. We had to hear from the King and the so-called Queen. It's madness, this. Madness. I swear to your comments after I have a drink of water and take a deep breath. That's right, Jay. This song was written about a German shepherd that grows up in Salford. If you believe that, you'll believe Julia Hartley Brewer. Actually, I'm going to kill that now, and I'm going to take you to a live feed of Keir Starmer talking in Downing Street. See what sort of horseshit Starmer's coming out with.
We provide refuge. We provide a home. For so many Jewish families, that is the story of Britain. But Britain is also a country where Jewish buildings, synagogues, even schools require round-the-clock protection, where dedicated specialist security is necessary.
Yeah, it's a protection racket. I'm sorry for interjecting. I have to say this. The Community Securities Trust is the mafia. It runs a protection racket against Jewish citizens by convincing them their very existence is under threat constantly. And it fucking isn't. What do you think it does to those children in those schools? Drills. Why? Why drills? For what? Schools, has never been an attack on a Jewish kindergarten or a Jewish school. Ever. I'm not saying that every now and then some drunk dickhead or some guy with genuine anti-Jewish feelings might not put some graffiti on a wall. It happens. But they terrorise Jewish children. They used to do it exclusively in Israel. Now they do it around the world. You're the chosen ones, and everybody wants to kill you. And it isn't true. The CST runs a protection racket, and it is incredibly lucrative. The cheekiest armor to insinuate that Jews have, as I said, you know, reason to fear for their lives in this, the most tolerant country on planet Earth.
Because of the daily threat of anti-Semitic hatred.
Bollocks.
Today's horrific incident shows why. And while this is not a new hate, this is something Jews have always lived with. We must be clear. It is a hatred that is rising once again.
No, it isn't.
And Britain must defeat it once again.
No, it isn't. If by hatred you mean how British people feel sick to their very souls at what is going on the other side of the Mediterranean. Is that what you mean by hatred? People exercising their human right, the right they were given when they were born, to have an opinion, whether you like it or hate it. That isn't threatening anybody. But that's what they mean, you see. They're making hay while the sun shines on the back of this attack. And that will lead people, justifiably, to wonder if we're really being told everything there is to be told about the attack and where it came from.
On behalf of the nation, I want to offer my condolences to the families and victims affected. I want to thank the Greater Manchester Police, the first responders, and those dedicated security specialists. There is no doubt whatsoever that they have prevented an even greater tragedy, and we thank them for their bravery. But to every Jewish person in this country, I also want to say this. I know how much fear you will be holding inside of you. I really do.
And there will be Jewish people screaming at the television, "You don't speak for me. I don't have any fear inside of me at all. I know exactly what game you are playing, and I ain't participating," as there will be many Jews saying this evening.
And so, on behalf of our country, I express my solidarity, but also my sadness, that you still have to live with these fears.
Right. I won't subject you to any more of it. I said we'd read the comments as they come. Tony Gosling has been in touch. "Be afraid, Richie. Red paint attack on London Jewish school last year." Yeah. That's it, Tony, isn't it? That is it in a nutshell. Stamford Hill. Somebody threw paint on a wall. Like I said, I'm not naive and I'm not a liar. I don't tell lies when I come on air. I know that, for example, in North Manchester, a Jewish cemetery has had to deal with vandalism over the years. It's repugnant. It's disgusting. It should never happen. And the assholes who do it should be punished for it. But it's a tiny, tiny minority. It isn't that long ago that the biggest survey ever undertaken by a Jewish organisation in this country, it will come to me in a moment, found that there is virtually no anti-Semitism in this country. Admittedly, it was a survey undertaken before the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel and the subsequent events. The genocide, of course. But this is it. This is what the Community Security Trust does. It lies. It runs a protection racket. I'm sorry for repeating it, but I think it bears repeating. On Jews. And many Jews are wise to it, because Jews are not stupid when it comes to minding their money. There's an anti-Semitic trope now. Remember years ago, Kevin Myers, the great Irish writer, and funnily enough, a fucking Zionist. Kevin Myers, a Zionist, lost his job for saying that Jews were not known for their stupidity when it came to negotiating contracts. Oh, he said the Jews are money pinchers. I'm not saying that at all. Jews are not stupid. It's a cultural thing. Pakistanis are not stupid when it comes to doing a deal. I said to my friend Imran years ago, whenever I do a deal with you, I count me fecking fingers and I take my hand back. Jewish people are not stupid. They're wise to the CST, telling us we should be terrified. Who's to say that the community, and I don't know this, if you ran a protection racket like the Community Securities Trust, these goons, wouldn't you be inclined to think about, do you know what I might do now? I might vandalise a cemetery. I tell you what, Avi, that's not a bad fucking idea. I tell you, Ravi, let's do it. Let's smash up a few windows of a Jewish school and then let's rock up the next day in our lovely uniforms and tell them, ah, oh, Jesus, lads, sure, things are getting really, 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 really dicey for Jewish people. But we, if we're paid enough money, we can protect your premises. Where the fuck were they this morning? Okay. Hi to Kieran. We're not talking about digital IDs today now, are we, Richie? All of this lone wolf shit. The ruthless distractions. Well, I'm going to talk about digital ID shortly, funnily enough. Hi to Gordon Carroll. As Voltaire's famous quote says, if you wish to see who rules over you, look to those you cannot criticise. Hi to Darren in Norfolk. I wonder if Netanyahu knew about the attack in Crumsall like he did with the 7/7 bombings. Hi to Sasha. Richie, speaking of Jews being made to fear for their lives by fear-mongering propaganda, I lived in the West Bank for 5 years and I saw it's exactly how Israel itself is governed, through fear and propaganda. It's how they harness manpower for their vile expansionist terror project. Thank you, Sasha. Norman Finkelstein told me this on this very show many years ago. He said it is an abomination. That was the word he used. What they do to children in Israel. They terrorize them. From when they can walk. From when they can walk. Hi to John Pope. Don't you mean Julian Hartley Brewer? Richie, I don't get that, John. I'm a bit slow today. Hi to Tim. Perhaps the perpetrator suspected someone of firing missiles from the synagogue. Paulie says she should be renamed Julia Hartley Sewer. Hi to Martin. Yes, Richie. It is, as you said previously, like the WWE, great theatre, world events. It's a clown world now, says Martin. Hi to Rich Mortimer. How many days will pass where they all argue over what to do in Gaza while kids are being shot and blown to bits, like you say? They're all on the same page. Meanwhile, Israel is bulldozing what's left of Gaza, ready for Donald Trump's holiday homes by the sea. This is sick, says Rich. Gabriel is in Gary Owen. Nobody is listening to these Israeli grifters anymore. These are the scum who stood by while tens of thousands of actual Holocaust survivors were compelled to live in dire poverty throughout Israel as their compensation money was stolen from them by the state. Norman Finkelstein documented this in the book The Holocaust Industry. Indeed, he did. Norman did. And he referenced it. He bookended the book with evidence to support every claim he made. And yet, they said he was effectively engaging in blood libel. Not at all. Not at all. Israelis have probably used up my quota of swear words for today. Well, I'll say it. Have fucked over Israelis more than anybody else ever has. Didn't they introduce the Green Pass in Israel in 2020? Wasn't Israel the most tyrannical or one of the governments, what it did to its own people during the COVID nonsense? You know, you don't go to the theatre, the gym, you don't go to the shopping mall unless you have the Green Pass to prove you were COVID jabbed. Dr. Rahana Ali is listening with interest. Richie, regarding Rafi Bloom, I'm sure if he was asked again, he would embellish his story even further. The potentially cancerous mole would have become cancerous and it would have been painted in red, white, black and green by the rabid Jew-hating NHS doctor. Anyway, back to the real story, which is the Holocaust in Palestine and the courageous people who have been attacked on the flotilla. Amen, Dr. Rahana Ali. Yeah, was it you he was referring to? Not the cancer story. But they kept mentioning doctors, patients who were scared of pro-Palestine doctors. It's either you or Dr. Rahme, I reckon. Hi to Andy Elliott. Richie, if this is a false flag, then it just shows how scared they are that everyone's waking up to the genocide. And they shot the Patsy. Now, I mentioned earlier, and it's the only programme I recommend outside of this That sounded rather arrogant. I've got to recommend my own programme. Tony Gosling will be live out of Bristol tomorrow. Thisweek.org.uk. Follow Tony on Twitter. He will air between 5 and 8pm. Much more will have happened between now and then. And his analysis will be, wait for it, will be honest. Whether you agree with him or not, will be honest. It won't be bought and paid for. It will be what he believes with the facts that he has to hand. Tony Gosling tomorrow in Bristol. Check him out. Hi to Sebastian. Ah, that old chestnut Richie. And many more attacks have been prevented by the security services. They always use it to support their lies. This is right, Sebastian, and we've got to believe it. We prevented a terrorist attack today. Did you? Yes, you were nearly killed. Was I? Yes. Could you show me some evidence I was nearly killed? No. No, we fucking won't. Why not? Well, because we might compromise ongoing investigations. Yeah. Basically what the CST does in London, particularly. We saved a Jewish building from being burned down last night. Evidence? No. Not at all. Hi to Michael Cohen, my friend. Richie, with a surname like mine, I still do not feel intimidated. Thank you, Michael. Hi to James. I can't wait for the fact explorers to check this particular incident. Do you know what, James? You have to. There are a lot of listeners telling me they believe the whole thing this morning was staged because it benefits the genocidal Israelis. And I understand the sentiment. But at the same time, you have to concede. Because the genocide is so, well, it's genocide. It's so disgusting, sickening and life draining, literally for the Palestinians. For the rest of us who feel helpless, is that all we can do is talk about it. Of course, it's possible that some man who might have, who might be, it's not beyond reason that a Palestinian man living in the UK or an Asian man living in the UK who is a practicing Muslim, it isn't unthinkable that he might lose his mind because of what's happening in Gaza and do something terrible. It's not impossible. Right? I work from the perspective, you've got to show me clear evidence of it being staged. Like, shit does happen sometimes. You know, these are terrible times. They really are. And some people become incredibly angry. And if they've got very little to lose, can take the law into their own hands. And if that is the case, it's a tragedy. Because Jews in the UK or Ireland have no responsibility. They have no case to answer when it comes to the genocide. Unless they're sending money to the IDF. Most Jews are completely opposed to it. So if you lose your mind to drive a car at a bunch of people outside a synagogue, it's so desperately, desperately sad and terrible and it's possible. Let's see what emerges in the coming days. This from Clarice. I normally do not become involved emotionally by the bullshit regurgitated by so-called journalists. But Brewer is testing me. How does she sleep at night? No doubt she was taught right and wrong when she was a child. So deep down, she must know Israel is committing a genocide and that no other crime, be it the 7th of the October 7th attack or holding hostages, can compare to it. She must be the racist, as she clearly gives zero thought to the suffering of the Palestinians. What if the roles were reversed, says Clarice? She'd be the first one to scream for the right to stand up. By the way, if your comment isn't read out, I am not censoring comments. I've never seen a volume of comments like this on a programme, and I normally get a couple of hundred per show. This is insane. I will not get through all of them, but thank you. I really appreciate them. Lynette, the news is vomit-inducing. I couldn't listen to it. It is sad that people have died, but it seems some deaths are more important than others. To be honest, I smell a rodent, says Lynette. Hi to Wayne. In heightened emotional states, thoughts become embedded in the subconscious. This is why speakers at business and personal development seminars work the crowd up. It can be used positively, but also to sell to you. A very relaxed, not paying attention state also allows thoughts to be embedded, but without the accompanying stress, says Wayne. A number of you much earlier reacted to my characterization of how the media covers these events, you know. Hello to Anne. When Jewish deaths reach 500,000, like they have in Gaza, maybe it will be newsworthy. The word overreaction doesn't suffice. I've had enough, says Anne. Look, Dr. Aladwan came on this programme. She believes the real death toll in Gaza might be as many as 500,000. I don't know if that is true. I don't know. I can't contradict it. I don't want it to be true. I believe it to be much, much higher than the health ministry's figure of 65,000. Much higher. Because they're not counting people. As far as I understand, there are many people who are missing who have not been added to that number. I mean, it's awful, isn't it? It's really, really, really awful. It saddens me, sickens me, it upsets me most days. Hi to Andrea in Glasgow. Richie, keep talking about digital ID because I'm still trying to understand how it will affect me and my own. I have a theory about digital ID, right? And I'll share it with you in a moment. Before that, I'm going to take a tune and I'm going to take a breather. You're listening to The Richie Allen Show live out of Salford. Brought to you in association with NutriHealth365.com. There is a paper on the homepage. You can download it, PDF, about microbiome. Yours, what it is, what it does, how to look after it. Very good. That's NutriHealth365.com. Music from Al Jarreau, as I said, back in a moment with more of your comments. And then I want to talk about digital ID, something which has been on my mind but for a very long time. But why I believe it might be a red herring, which might not go down well with some of our listeners. Time now is 5 minutes past the hour of 6 o'clock. By the way, at least 53 Palestinians have been murdered by Israel since the beginning of this day, Thursday, October 2nd. Now, this is not whataboutery, because I cannot stand whataboutery. I hate it. If people were murdered at that mosque today, and I think they were, their lives are no less important than the lives of the Palestinians. But when you hear the pro-Zionist scumbags, bought and paid for, whinging about the fear in Jewish communities, the fictional fear, they've killed another 50 people at least today in Gaza. You see, they should nuke Israel from orbit after giving them plenty of notice, by the way. And I say nuke from orbit with my tongue in cheek. I don't want anybody to die. I've had enough of reporting on people being murdered during the course of my career. Shocking stuff, really. Let's read a few more comments. Then I have a little kind of a thought for the week on digital ID. I'll read a few comments first. Chris, the gardener. Richie, regarding digital ID, are we not already 95% of the way there with our use of smartphones? They go everywhere with most people. Listen, record and monitor everything you do. It's a good point, Chris. I'll come back to it, right, in a few minutes. Hi to Davey, who listened with great interest to Eamon Blaney last night and has been on NutriHealth365.com, Davey in County Down. Thank you, Davey, for your kind words. Eamon will be happy. Terence says the Quran teaches not to be friends with Jews or Christians. Terence, when was the Quran written? And are you a scholar? Are you a theologian? Have you read the Quran as it was originally written? I'm asking this not to piss you off. Because recently when Dr. Aladwan was on the programme, I challenged her, I pushed back at her and I gave her some scriptures as had been given to me by a listener. And it turned out the ones given to me by the listener were misinterpreted. And the listener was kind enough to acknowledge it. Read the Old Testament. People who, Muslims are not a cult. You say you cannot coexist with a cult that hates you. Show me a Muslim that hates you, Terence. I'm surrounded by Muslims in Greater Manchester. I'm on first name terms with many British Muslims, many of them third and fourth generation Pakistanis, or they come from elsewhere in the Middle East, and I'm pretty sure they don't hate me at all. Hi to Patrick Ritchie, synagogue. Synagogue, he says. Don't know what you mean, Patrick. You'll have to come back and tell me, pal. I'm not clairvoyant, you know. Poor Patrick is comparing me to James O'Brien on LBC. How far you have fallen, Richie, says Patrick. Because you see, if you continue to be anti-Jewish and pro-Islamic, then I will have to unsubscribe, says Patrick. Fuck off, Patrick. There's a good lad. Deaf as a post. Tony came back to say, Tony Gosling, 30 years later, he sends me a link to an NBC News article about a Jewish centre that had been bombed in Argentina in 1994, claimed as a deadly anti-Semitic terrorist attack at the time, blamed on Jew haters. But apparently there's a much bigger story, which people in Argentina want answers when it comes to it, that maybe it has the hallmarks of a false flag attack. I have to say, Tony, I knew very little. I knew nothing about that attack in 1994. It came 4 years before I, of course, dipped my toe in journalism. But interesting, isn't it? 85 people killed. Argentina's deadliest terrorist attack, 1994, blamed on Jew haters, but it would appear evidence over the years suggests maybe something else. Yes. Hi to Anya. The comments on the synagogue killing are the same wolf crying victim cries. A common one is, it was caused by Starmer's hate speech in recognising Palestine as a nation. Everything is inverted. Hateful words are more evil than hateful actions. Recognising human rights has become hate speech. And happily calling for the annihilation of all humans in Palestine is not hate speech, etc., etc., says Anya. Thank you so much, Anya. Okay, talk a little bit about digital ID, because I have a theory. Don't I always have a theory? Here's the theory, I suppose. So, when the conservative or the liberal mainstream media is really running with a story and is reporting it in a way that satisfies you, like the aforementioned Julia Hartley Brewer, Mike Graham, old Murdoch hacks, in other words. These are Murdoch's bastard children, Hartley Brewer and Mike Graham. You get it on GB News as well. Digital ID. It's awful. It's tyrannical. It'll take away our freedom, blah, blah, blah. It will allow governments to monitor every move we make. The digital ID is the gateway to a surveillance state, blah, blah, blah. This all sounds very good. It sounds very reasonable. It sounds very right. And it sounds like the media is on your side. But I believe it's a big red herring. And it's not going to take me more than 2 minutes to explain why. Maybe you'll disagree with me. And I hope you do, if you do, that is. I think they're building a surveillance system which will not require you to download an app to your phone which will set up the digital ID. That's what I believe. And this is why I think the digital ID announcement by Starmer and linking it to modernising the state and also linking it to, well, we'll better be able to prevent illegal working, like migrants working illegally. So that's what they're saying. Starmer says this. The media says, right and left, says it's terrible. It's ira papira bitter. It's awful. It'll help roll out cashless and all of this up to a point. But if you see what I see, they are developing a surveillance system which will not require you to have a mobile phone on you, nor will it require you to have a microchip under your skin or a microchip under your skull. No, because they're building a smart society. It is a smart society, and it's developing, and it is revealing itself at the speed of light. A smart society. No digital ID necessary, no app on your phone, no microchip. Wait for it, because the environment itself, the environment, will know who you are, where you are, no matter what you're doing, 24/7. Can you not see this? Every streetlight, every camera, the autonomous cars, the devices in your homes, the fridge freezer, the kettle, the microwave, all of it will be interconnected. Facial recognition, analysis of your gait, the posh way of saying analysis of how you move. Your voice will be profiled. Your biometric signatures will all be identifiable before you've even touched your mobile phone. Think about that for a minute. That's not beyond the imagination, is it really? Digital ID will be obsolete. It won't matter. Won't matter whether you carry it or not. And I think the red herring element of this is people are being programmed to think that the power of control is in checkpoints, like in scanning your ID, in paying with your phone or your watch, instead of cash. Can I have some water? Hang on. Dead air is a big no-no. Had a bit of a sore throat all week. Hang on. Think about what I've just said. Jesus, back in a minute.
Health is the greatest of human blessings, said Hippocrates. And at NutraHealth 365, we couldn't agree more. Imagine waking up energized, focused, and ready to conquer your day. That's the power of premium, science-backed supplements made just for you. Whether you're boosting your immune system, easing joint discomfort, sleeping better, or chasing all-day vitality, NutraHealth 365 powers your wellness journey. ImmuneX 365 is a customer favorite for immune support at any age. At NutraHealth 365, we never compromise on quality. Just clean, vegetarian-friendly ingredients with no fillers, no artificial junk. We're here to help you stay at the top of your game every single day. Visit NutraHealth365.com and take the first step toward better health. That's NutraHealth365.com. Your wellness journey starts now.
The Richie Allen Show needs your support now. Visit richieallen.co.uk to make a financial contribution today.
Yeah, the old voice went momentarily. I'm being attacked by the deep state. Not really. So that's my take on it, really. The environment itself will be the surveillance system, right? The smart society. I said the streetlights, the cameras, the cars, what you use at home, the electronic devices, your own voice, that'll be your biometric signature. And using that, doing it that way doesn't make it any less easy for them to deny you access to services if you're not a good citizen, you see. That's where I see it. Like I was saying before I collapsed there, most people do believe that their control is in having to scan your digital ID, paying with the phone, with the watch. But there won't be any need for that in the future, because we're seeing it in Salford already. The Greater Manchester Police is deploying drones right now. You can see them above Langworthy Road and above Ordsall or Oddsall, as they say, pretty much most mornings. You can see the drones, right? And they'll tell you, well, traffic management, they're fucking lying. They don't give a damn about managing traffic, about how long it takes you to get to work. Ideally, the demons behind the systems, they want you angry and upset and irritated and bored and frustrated. These drones will eventually be following people in real time. Networks of sensors will log our every move. The technology already exists. Cashless systems won't just record any transaction you make. They'll map your behavioural patterns from cradle to grave. And there'll be no gaps for people to slip through who decide they don't want to comply with it. The social credit system will not need you to have a digital ID on a smartphone. The entire world around you will be the app. Does that make sense? This has been on my mind for a while. I mentioned this yesterday to Eamon. So we'll have a society where surveillance is no longer a tool, but surveillance is the environment itself. It's everywhere. And that's why I think the media obsession with digital ID should be taken with a pinch of salt. Remember Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes, remember?
I remember when you were a snot-nosed rookie pilot.
They finally grounded me.
Shit. You're a damn good flyer.
You are fined 2 credits for a violation of the verbal
So he's fined 2 credits. And we find out later on, as Stallone goes out and about in the futuristic world, that the sensors are everywhere. Not just in the public buildings, but they're everywhere. That wherever he does something or says something that is verboten, he is immediately challenged and punished by the surveillance environment.
Shit. You're a damn good flyer.
I know there'll be people listening to this who will say it's a stretch, Richie. Richie, that's a big stretch of the imagination, you know. Only a stretch of the imagination. Yeah. Hi to Chris. Richie, have you ever read Through a Scanner Darkly by Philip K. Dick? I haven't. No. A play on Through a Glass Darkly by Ingmar Bergman. There's a film of it. Keanu Reeves and Winona are in it. The main characters. People wear a cloak. The cloak constantly changes if they have the authority to remain anonymous. No. No. I'm going to read the last message ever from poor Patrick. And then I'm going to censor him. Poor Patrick, the Zionist. He wants the channel to become interactive eventually, he says. The Richie Allen Show is completely interactive. It is the most interactive show in the entirety of the independent media. I do phone-ins. I did one on Monday where callers are not screened, Patrick. They're not screened, Patrick. Callers can phone in. But I suppose a guy like you, Patrick, you don't have any bollocks. None whatsoever. None. Your bollocks are absent, without leave, gone. He tells me my fucking time is nearly over, threatening me now because of what I've been saying about Israel. But if you had any balls, Patrick, or any of these Zionist whores who I criticise on my programme at any balls, you would come on and confront me on air. But you won't, you see, because I will fucking annihilate you, Patrick. Take you to the cleaners, Patrick. It's what I do. I am an exceptionally good radio presenter. If I do say so myself, if I was a chalk ice, I would now peel back the wrapper and eat myself. I say tongue in cheek. You're a coward, Patrick. You're like millions of people who live on Twitter and use pseudonyms and avatars to troll people because you don't have the courage to debate them. It is the last time I will read out any of your comments. Arrivederci. Hi to Joe. Richie, I totally agree with your theory. It's in everything. The reason your calls are recorded, for example, says Joe. The environment will be the surveillance. Hi to Faisal. What if the drones are Russian and are probing Manchester's defence, says Faisal? Why not? Hi to Chiro. Richie, I think what you have said is perceptive. In which case, maybe such a system already exists. Well, it makes sense, doesn't it, Chiro? I mean, most of what I say, when it comes to me predicting what might happen, I get it wrong pretty much all the time. You know? I get it wrong a lot of the time. Of course I do. I just do, you know? But this one, I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it because I remember interviewing people years ago who used to work for Google. Names will come to mind now. And they talked about a future world where the technology would give governments that capability of hearing everything everywhere all of the time, that it would become inescapable. And I've been thinking about it, because I think people have every right to be pissed off about digital ID. 100%. How dare they tell you it is mandatory. You must have it. You must have it, you know. Yeah, of course people have every right to be pissed off about that and to say, no, it's authoritarian. Of course it is. And people are right to talk about how it could be linked into modifying or moderating people's behaviour. That arsehole, Larry Ellison, we played the clip on the show last week, he's on the record as saying that digital ID will mean people will behave better. So I'm not, you know, dismissing people's concerns here. I'm just saying, I think it's a red herring because it'll be completely obsolete before it even gets started. Because of smart societies where there is zero, there is nowhere that you can have any privacy. Like, you will be identified. Cameras everywhere. You will be filmed by the camera. In less than a millisecond, that is Richie Allen. He's on Langworthy Road. Citizen number 4269123. Hateful bastard. Hates the Jews, apparently. Of course I don't. Dangerous. Subversive. Just bought a KFC. It's a guilty pleasure. Southern KFC original recipe, guilty pleasure. Other takeaways are available. We don't touch McDonald's, we don't touch Burger King or any of that fucking shite. But yeah, he's just had a KFC. He didn't properly dispose of the packaging it came in. I'm telling you, demerit. They don't need you to have the phone. And this is what interests me. And I know there are people who know far more about this than I do, and I'm going to do the best I can to get them on the programme to talk about it, and hopefully to talk about how to mitigate against it. But it's going to be bloody difficult to mitigate against it, you know what I mean? In any case, look, I'm going to take my leave of you now, today. Thank you very much for listening to the programme. I really appreciate your company this week. Quick shout out for Sunday Morning Melodies, which will be live this coming Sunday morning at 10 o'clock UK time on the usual channels. It's a show I really enjoy presenting. This event in Manchester, which appears to be a terrible murder, this is how it appears. Evidence might emerge to the contrary. Do check in with Tony and the BCFM politics show. That will be live tomorrow out of Bristol, 5 p.m. until 8. Go to thisweek.org.uk. Much more will have emerged by then. And Tony's a good guy. You will get an honest take on it. It will be his take and nobody else's, okay? All right, from the BBG, enjoy the rest of your Thursday. This programme will return next Monday and I'll be joined by Jenny Lowe's. Can't wait. Been a while. Bye now. Have a great weekend. Bye now.